Do you believe that a pair of dumbbells are all that you really need in order to maintain or even gain fitness? Well, we do, and actually 4.5 years ago when street parking started, we believed it so much that the whole program was built around that idea. Now, of course, in 2021, street parking has a whole website full of workout options every single day, extra programs, Olympic lifting e-moms, and all sorts of things. But at our core, we still believe that dumbbells are all any of us really need. We started seeing the question pop up a lot on the Facebook group, where people were thinking that programs A, B, and C were levels, with the dumbbell version somehow being the easiest version of the workout. Now, of course, we knew that that was not true at all. Those are just different variations of the workout depending on the equipment that you have. And we wanted people to be encouraged that didn't have a lot of equipment, and we wanted everybody to know just how deadly the dumbbells can be. So for the whole entire month of April in 2018, we decided to challenge ourselves to only use dumbbells for an entire month, even though we have access to way more than that. We put it on the Facebook group. We weren't so much like asking other people to do it with us, but in street parking fashion, everybody jumped on board and Project April was born. So Project April is in April every year in the street parking community. We encourage you to use your dumbbells through the whole month. Choose program A. Even if you've got your barbell and your sandbag and all the other fun tools, choose the dumbbells. Maybe you choose them for all of the workouts. Maybe you choose them for more than you normally do. Maybe you don't even have dumbbells and you go and pick some up. We would love to have you guys join us for this yearly street parking tradition, Project April, where we're all gonna go back to our roots, keep it simple, remember that all we really need is a simple tool and a little bit of space in our living room or in the bathroom or out on the porch if you need to, and that we are in control of our fitness, it is simple, and that we believe that a pair of dumbbells are all you really need.
All right, welcome to week 13 of the Coaches Roundtable. We decided to change things up this week because we do have Brian in from out of town, and Brian is the official street parking accountant. And since we just felt like this has been a long time coming, we wanted to do an episode focusing on the street parking dads and the point of view of fathers in general. And since the street parking community has been gaining momentum with fathers as well, we felt like it'd be really nice to share our experience since, you know, we just keep pumping out the babies here. I mean, you know, we got a family going for sure. But anyway, so, you know, we decided to just kind of change things up a little bit and kind of talk about our life experiences when it comes to being fathers. So to kick this off, actually, and we have Jeb here as always. To kick this off, I actually felt like we should start from the beginning and kind of get the conversation going. And then later on, we'll open it up to certain questions and stuff. But one of the things I wrote down was talking about before we were fathers and kind of going through that journey of finding out when, you know, we got pregnant with our spouses and, you know, what was that feeling like? What kind of life were you living kind of before baby number one came? So, Brian, where were you at when you guys found out you were pregnant? How was that?
So to be honest, you know, I grew up doing, you know, cross country and track and running a lot and everything. And once I graduated from school, I got fat. I gained a lot of weight, didn't work out and that type of thing. And then my wife really got on me as we're leading up to having children, telling me, hey, I want you to focus on your health. I want you to be around for the long term with our kids. So I got serious about that and kind of changing my lifestyle when it came to eating and working out and that type of thing. So really, you know, my wife and I knew from the get-go we wanted to have kids and have kids young. So, you know, really prepping, once we were talking about having children, I started to take my nutrition and you know, my health and fitness a little bit more seriously. And then leading up to obviously having baby number one, that became, you know, a hyper focus of our family. Obviously looking at the longevity and ensuring, in reality, I could do everything my part to be around as long as I possibly can. Obviously lightning strikes and things could happen, but at least I could do my part.
So you felt like that was one of the things, once you guys found out you were pregnant, or you made a choice to, you know, fix your health?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my wife, she was always been in fitness. We actually, we met in high school. We were cross country track together, but she actually went to school for soccer as well. And then from there on, she became a personal trainer, and that was always a focus of hers. And me being in public accounting, you know, there's long hours and long nights, and, you know, you come up with every excuse not to make that a priority. You know, so she was already hyper focused on her health and fitness, especially as she got pregnant and, you know, wanted to ensure, you know, postpartum and everything was as seamless as possible that she could make it. But yeah, exactly. You know, prepping and knowing that we were pregnant, my wife was pregnant, became a focus of mine as well from a fitness perspective and nutrition, really.
Nice. Jeb, where were you and Carolina at pre-Cali?
So pre-Cali, I mean, we owned a gym, so we were, and we both taught yoga full time. So we were definitely very active already. When we found out that we were pregnant, I would say that, so Carolina had been getting into and, you know, was already very deep into working with other mothers, and prenatal fitness and the postpartum experience, and had a very pretty clear idea of what she wanted her pregnancy to look like. For me, if I'm being totally honest, I kind of took that as like, okay, well, Carolina's got her, she's got her thing laid out, and she knows how she wants to do this. And she knows what type of relationship she wants to have with her body as she goes through this process. And in no way am I like a victim or anything like that, but it didn't to me seem like I was a huge part of that, even though I definitely was, and the expectation that was there that I should have been. But I probably was a little bit selfish. Once I found out that Carolina was pregnant, I think in that 9 months, I was coming up here a lot. We were still living in California. So I was really enjoying coming up here, working out a lot, trying to work out a lot in our backyard. We were transitioning away from our gym at the time. So I was getting into much, much deeper and more consistent with the street parking workouts, which was great because it was short and much less of a time commitment, much less of an equipment commitment. So I was able to stay focused on fitness without having to make it super complicated. But I didn't feel a lot of like pressure or like much had changed during the pregnancy for me in terms of like fitness or like having to, I mean, I was already having to balance quite a few things as far as fitness, moving, switching jobs, closing a bit business, you know, selling a house, all that stuff.
Sure. So Brian came from the point of he was in a, I mean, because Morgan, your wife, you guys were dating. I mean, she was your high school sweetheart, right? So you guys have been dating for how long before you guys got pregnant with Emery?
We had been dating since 2007. So we got married in 2012 and Emery was born in 2017. So,
wow. So you, I mean, for a while, for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so you went from the, you know, you went to school, you did your accounting and, you know, Morgan was training clients. And so you guys had that background. Jeb, your background was, you and Carolina were in the scene, like LA, right? I mean, you guys, you know, auditions, just hearing all those stories from you guys met at a restaurant. So the typical LA scene, would you not agree? Before
yes.
You guys transitioned into, you know, opening up your guys' gym and kind of shifting, it seems like it was like more of a shift away from what you guys originally had moved to LA for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the experience in LA was a lot of like turns and ins and outs and what I moved to LA for was music, and what I ended up getting into that was actually successful was not music, it was fitness. And then by the time it was time to transition out of LA, it was like all of the things that brought me there were just so far away from anything that I even wanted to really be a part of what we were doing.
Where I was at, me and Miranda had met in 2016. We met at a CrossFit gym that I was training at the time. What's so crazy to think that in 2015, just to kind of keep this story short, just to give a little more context of our pre-life before, and we hit into the moment of, you know, when we found out we were all, you know, pregnant and about to become fathers, right? So me and Miranda literally had crossed paths up until 2015. You know, we were in the same like area numerous times in regionals and then the CrossFit games. To think that we crossed paths and never acknowledged each other until 2016, that moment where we met at a CrossFit gym. And then from there, you know, we started dating. I was living in LA at the time, and then I would commute up to Newport to go visit her on a weekly basis. And I really, really enjoyed that, right? I think that I noticed that was my shift in changing of my life, because I felt like I was stuck in a really pattern that just wasn't moving. There was no progression. And my progression started happening when me and her met, because I moved to LA to try to become an actor. And then I found CrossFit, and then I really enjoyed it. So then that took my focus, and I really committed to that and just was doing the typical training clients, personal trainer scene. I would go to auditions, but my focus was starting to shift away. You know, and then obviously the whole dating life, you know, just typical going out, LA, what bar, what restaurant, things like that. And then everything changed the minute me and her met. So that was kind of pre. And then it was nice too. Me and her were traveling a lot together. I mean, we would go to like Disneyland at like 8, 9 p.m. You know, we're just sleeping in, all of that, you know, the typical, you know, new relationship, really enjoying life, right? So then comes the moment of you guys, so finding out you were pregnant. What was that feeling for you? And do you remember that? Where were you when you found out that you were pregnant? And how was that feeling? What were your thoughts when you found that out?
I mean, what a fantastic morning. I actually had gone to the gym that morning, came back, and we'd been trying for a couple months. This was, you know, around 5 years of, I guess 4 years that we were married for. And then, you know, she took the pregnancy test in the morning. We'd been actively trying and saw the double lines there. And it was a fantastic feeling to see, you know, all come to fruition, that type of thing. You get nervous too. You don't know if the pregnancy is going to stick, that type of thing, you know, very early on. So you're hesitant to be overly excited. But obviously when that news did come, it was an extremely exciting and elated feeling for sure.
Nice. How about you, Jeb?
Yeah, same thing. I remember Caroline and I were so just stupid busy for like months, and we were wanting to try and like time things, and like when the timing was right for like two or three months in a row, it was just like something happened and like whatever, it just like didn't work out. So when was it, like January, I think? I remember she came into our room and she was like, I just took another pregnancy test and it came out positive. And the feeling's interesting because it wasn't like this incredible like sense of excitement. It was almost like a, like something had just been lifted off of me. Like I felt like a, like really light and really like just this perfect level of acceptance. It was like, all right, like here it is. This is what I've been, this is the like the next thing that I've been kind of waiting for. And I didn't really necessarily know that at the time, but when she told me that she was pregnant, it was just the sensation of like, yes, this is it. Like, this is what is supposed to be happening. It's happening.
Yeah, I remember when Miranda told me, I was cleaning something from the floor. I think I was cleaning up some like dog piss or something, and she had told me, and I think I didn't say much. I was just, I looked at her like, all right. and then went right back into my cleaning mode. It was just the most random thing. To be honest, because it was a unplanned pregnancy. And so I don't know. And back then I was really bad at processing emotions and feelings. So I think it was just, I went back into compulsive cleaning until she had to like slow me down and be like, hey, like, can I get a little bit more reaction out of you? And and then we actually ended up talking about it. So now we find out we're pregnant. Let's talk about that 9-month window. And I think because, you know, I would kind of want to cover the phases that we go through as fathers, right? Then there's that 9-month window where the wife goes through or your partner goes through this, you know, change so much for her. What are some of the things that we go through in that 9-month window? Brian, what did you go through in those 9 months while, you know, Emery was...
I feel like there's very few things that happen, especially in a man's life, where you feel that you've kind of grown up. And it's coming to that realization now you are the caregiver, you're the primary provider, whatever it might be, for a child. And whether that, you know, comes to fruition and you realize that during pregnancy or, you know, once the baby's born or whatever it is, there's just kind of a growing up phase. And I feel like you do that, you know, when you get married or, you know, have children, whatever it might be in a, you know, person's life. But especially for me, it's just coming to that realization that you are now responsible for another human being. And that's a lot to take in. I mean, you go through ups and downs and trying to figure that out. And I don't think it really ever stops because your child gets older and you come to different things rather than just changing diapers. They have a will of their own, as children do. But yeah, especially in that 9-month phase, it's really just a growing up phase, I felt, for myself anyways, to where you really do begin to understand that you're responsible for more than just yourself, more than just your spouse, for another child, really.
Jeb, how was it for you? Because I got to be honest, like during that 9-month window, it's hard to grasp the concept that you're a father. You don't feel like a father yet, right? Because the role almost shifts into making sure you take care of your partner, right? Because they're the ones that feel like the mother already, because they're the ones growing the child inside of them. But for me, I felt like it just heavily connected me more towards her and like, what do you need? What are you needing from me? And it was really hard to navigate during those 9 months. There was a lot.
I agree 100%. I feel like that 9 months was harder than any time after that once since Callie's been alive. Because
speak for yourself, man.
Yeah, this is just my experience with it. And a lot of it has to do with external things. You know, I was traveling a lot. We were going through a huge business transition, career transition, geographical transition. And at the same time, you know, we had a birth plan, right? And the birth plan was very, very, as it should have been, very, very centered around Carolina and like what was the experience that she wanted it to be. And so we would go to appointments and like I literally could have been just a lamp in the room. Like I was completely invisible. So there wasn't, it was like, I don't know what I should be doing right now, but I know I should be doing something. And so that was, like you're saying, it was extremely hard to navigate. And then when you're trying to set yourself up to be the caregiver, to be the person that you need to be, to get all my ducks in a row so that when the baby comes, like I can do what I need to do, juggling and balancing all of that and still trying to figure out like what it is, how can I best support my partner, was extremely challenging. I think that I am a better man for it. And I think that going through that, you do, I mean, that's part of the process. And like you become the person that you need to become during that time.
Yeah, I would say for me, there was a lot of emotions as well that you don't, that really put your relationship to the test as far as communication goes, because you know, hormonally, their women are changing so, so much. And it's just, you see a side of them that you've never seen before. And, you know, there's just a lot of times you just gotta, take the beating, And, you know, it took a while for, I would say for me to not take it personal and kind of get to a point of understanding. You know, and luckily during that time, I think we were seeing a therapist as well, which helped a lot because it allowed us to just be vulnerable and discuss like what was actually being felt. And a lot of the times it just comes down to, you know, them needing more safety and like affirmation during that process, you know, and it was great. But before I jump into the next phases, I know we have a lot of questions and I definitely want to cover some of these because, again, you know, this is a long story. It's been quite a journey. There's so much to discuss here as far as being a father. But I want to open it up. I know Miranda's got a bunch of questions. So hit me with a question.
Yeah. So on our social media pages, we asked, most of these are fitness related questions with a side order of they're really emotional questions. But the way that guys ask them sometimes, okay? So I would say the overwhelming, most common question that we saw was dads who, before they were dads, were, let's call them fitness enthusiasts, that maybe spent hours doing fitness-related things and now struggle with not being able to spend hours, but still kind of wanting to be able to, wishing they could spend more time. Or just work out by myself without other people around or on such a clock. How did you guys overcome that in your own lives? If that was a part of your life, how did you overcome that now that you have much less time?
Brian, how was that for you?
Well, as I said, I mean, before, you know, my wife became pregnant, I wasn't very focused on that. Obviously, I spent hours and hours running prior to that. But I will say, as my fitness journey progressed, especially after Emmy was born and my son a couple years later, I did have, honestly, a desire to become fitter and fitter and, you know, try to keep up with you or keep up with different people. I mean, that'll never happen, I know. But just to, you know, be a better version of myself from a fitness or nutrition perspective. And there were definitely times, you know, struggling to have enough time and that type of thing. But in all honesty, it's all just about balance because for me personally, you know, you have family life with your spouse, you know, most importantly, and then time with your children and family and then everything else going on with work and that type of thing to where I just wanted to find a balance. And that's really what's most important. So I can't speak really well to like, hey, I want more and more and more time of fitness because in my mind, it's becoming, you know, trying to find more of a balance in my life and fitness takes its, you know, part of my life, but it's not ever going to be the sole focus of my life. And I think maybe some men may struggle with that being wanting them to be their sole focus. And when you have a family, when you have other priorities with work or whatever it might be, it just can't be, unless, you know, fitness is your work. Obviously that could be different, but for myself, that will never be my sole focus, but it is kind of a foundation in my life. So it's putting in its right place.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of ways that this could go, but I think fitness is our job. And for me personally, I very rarely work out for more than like 30 to 45 minutes in a day. And I don't really want to work out any more than that. So for anyone who's used to work out for a lot more than that and then can't now, I would first ask them like, well, why do you want to work out for 2 hours? Because you could probably get the same thing out of it if you worked out for a lot less. And then the other thing is, you know, totally lost my train of thought there. But what I think is super important is communication. And so one of the things that when I was involved with our doula during Carolina's pregnancy, she asked like, well, what are some of the non-negotiables for you? Like, what is it that you need? And I said that I think I can be of best service to Carolina and to our baby if I have time carved out every day to move. Because I am a better person when I can go get after it. And so that was established very early on. that I would get at least 30 minutes every day where I could go and work out. And so that's just been an agreement that we've had since the very beginning. So I feel like fitness, whether or not it was part of my job, fitness gets to be a part of my life no matter what. And there are days when I really enjoy being alone in the garage, like I don't turn on any music or anything, and I just get to have some time to myself, and it's so nice. And then there's other times where we try to do a family workout, and it's amazing. And there's nothing I would rather do than be able to have everybody together and be doing fitness, and it's awesome. So I think, like Brian was saying, it's definitely all about balance. And I would come back to just ask yourself, well, why is it that you would want to do that thing? Why is it that you don't think that you can do it now? And maybe question your own motives, and go from there. Communicate with your partner.
Yeah, I remember one of the hardest things for, I would say, the relationship between me and Miranda, since we both love working out so much and we both came from that competitive background, right? We competed at the games and then we had to regress from that. So we're so used to training for multiple hours or sessions and stuff and seeking a level of intensity when it comes to our workouts, right? That was a huge adjustment when we had Knox, because we didn't have the help that we did right back then that we do now with my mom being our full-time nanny. And so it was a big juggling act, you know? And for me, I got to a point where I had to start putting her fitness schedule first, because I knew personally that I was going to get in my fitness no matter what. And I just needed a 20 to 30 minute window. And I had to completely disconnect from any idea of what I thought I needed to do. Like, for example, any expectation set, especially when it came to after having Knox, right? Because, this, you know, people were like, oh, are you gonna compete again? Or what are you going to do? You're so fit. Well, my priorities changed. My goals changed immediately after we had Knox. And, you know, you get to a point where you just love spending the time. You're trying to figure out how to split up the attention between your new child, your relationship with your spouse, and then your relationship with yourself as well, right? I mean, it's a lot of adjustments that you have to make, but you're not going to figure it out right away. You have to be willing to adapt to change. So when there wasn't big adjustments being made in the beginning, you know, Miranda would express like, hey, like, this is how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like you're prioritizing your fitness like over mine, and I need this. And once we got to that point, then we started having more open communication, like, okay, when do you need to work out? And you kind of know that your responsibilities as a father aren't as drastic as the mothers are with the newborn child or the infant in that stage, because, you know, they depend so heavily on the mother, you know, when it comes to like the attention that's needed, right? So, yeah, you just got to help. Those are the ways that I felt like I was helping out, right? Because I knew that no matter what, I was still going to get my fitness, and I had to just chop that down and be productive in the time that I worked out. And luckily, you know, we had street parking, and it was practicing what we preach ultimately, and showing that to our members, like, no, this is the lifestyle we're choosing to live, and it's working, right?
Since you were still doing a lot of fitness, and you, I think most people have seen the story of you saying no thanks to the CrossFit Games in 2017. How? I think the guys want to know, how did you make that mind shift? Not how did your schedule change? Like, how did you mentally and emotionally release the need to train so much and to be at a certain level and to show that you were at a certain level all the time?
Well, I think for me, what helped me, to be completely honest, I think what had helped me was when I had gone in 2015 and I made it, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Coming to 2017 and then knowing that we were pregnant, and then you had brought up the fact that, hey, like, you have a good shot. If you end up qualifying, you know that that's when Knox is going to, you know, be born. Are you willing to miss that? And it was like, of course, I'm not going to miss that. Like, the CrossFit Games is not important. it's not as important as this one special moment. I have already experienced that moment and realized it wasn't what it was. If I had not had that experience, would it have been? I don't know. I would have still stuck to like, this is what we're going to do. Like, this is what I want to do, you know? Because you have to realize there's experiences that are only happen once in a lifetime. And having your first child is an experience that only comes around once, you know? And that moment was, there's no distractions. I would have never wanted any distractions away from that special moment. So there was not much to think about, honestly.
And honestly, coming from a non-competitive athlete, unlike yourself, I think when you're faced with a binary choice as a father, either spending time with your kids or working out, I'm going to spend time with my kids 100% of the time. And I think that's maybe the shift that some dads may struggle with, is that, well, I'd rather do this than spending time with my kids. And I'm not insinuating anything, but obviously we have only a certain amount of time we have during the day. And you know, if more time is being spent on working out or doing other things rather than your kids, it's a question as to your priorities and in reality and changing your mindset as to what's more important. Now, obviously, it's never a binary choice. There's always, you know, a schedule that you have throughout the day and you have a certain amount of time. But it's finding, again, that right balance. And obviously, what takes priority over, you know, whatever it may be.
I think just to give the guys a little bit of confidence, would you say that you've lost a lot of fitness since you've changed your schedule as much as you have?
No, I would say, to be honest, I'm way more fit now than I was, you know, prior years. Yeah, maybe I would have been a little bit stronger on certain lifts, but for what reason, right? I already feel like I have control of my body. I feel like I'm in control of my fitness, and that has been a place of inner peace, to be honest, knowing that no matter what, fitness is just going to be a part of my life, right? I'm going to make it work no matter what. I have no problem. I'm at a point where I have no problem getting in a workout with a purpose. I work out with purpose. It's not, you know, I'm going to, you know, kind of just casually. It's not my hangout time. It's my, you're doing this for yourself, execute it, get it done, get back to your family, get back to your day-to-day priorities. And so, yeah, I feel that execution has kept me really, really in some good shape.
All right, so you guys have already mentioned balance a lot, which was one of the other questions that got brought up a ton. Do you guys actually feel like you have balance? Part one of the question. And part two, can you give these guys an example of your work, family, fitness schedule that you're currently using, if you have one?
Go ahead and kick it off, Jed.
Okay, so first part of the question, do I actually have balance? No. It is a balance doesn't exist. There's always going to be something that tips the scales one way or another. And when it does, then I have to realize that, and then I have to go add a little more weight to the scale over here. So it's not like you're just in perfect equilibrium all the time. It's a constant, it requires constant effort, constant energy to try to maintain balance. Any expectation that at some point it's just all going to magically fit in every little place that it needs to is ridiculous. So I think step one is just get rid of that expectation and know that it's just going to require some constant attention as far as trying to keep everything, all the plates spinning or everything into balance. What was part two of the question?
Like a little bit more of your schedule.
Okay. So my schedule is different every day. But I wake up usually these days, it's like, you know, around 6, and depending on what day it is, either I will wake up Callie and I will spend the morning with her, and we'll have breakfast and we'll hang out and we'll go outside and we'll play a little bit. Or I will have time where I'll try to get a little bit of work done and then head into the office or film, and, you know, here at Street Parking, you may not know this, but we are constantly pumping out new stuff. And a lot of times this new stuff is an idea that Miranda or Julian has, and I don't know what the proper word is, but it's like, if you've got your week planned out, just don't expect that you're actually going to be able to do all that, because come Monday, either one of them could walk in and be like, hey, I got this great idea, and then your whole week is going to have to get reshifted around.
Whoopsie.
I feel like this is inappropriate, Jeb.
Yeah, you asked. That's part of the beauty of being able to work here. I mean, the flexibility of the schedule, and it keeps things exciting, and that. So as far as balance, though, it makes it really hard to balance things. But at the same time, if we need to, you know, hey, I got to go take Callie to this appointment, or we have to, you know, do this, that, or the other thing. But again, to come back to communication, that's probably the number one thing. When Carolina and I are in good communication with one another, and I can relay what is relevant quickly, and she knows what she needs to know, and we can plan out what the next day is going to look like, what the weekend's going to look like, that sort of thing, then everything runs a lot more smoothly. So I would say communication with your partner, communication with your coworkers and employers, that sort of thing. I think probably communication is the number one thing. If that can be improved, everything else gets better.
Yeah, so I got to say, when we started street parking, we always wanted to be very real to our members, and no BS, no sugarcoating things. You know, we talk about this often, right? Comparison is the thief of joy, right? Because the thing is, you could look at any one of us here on this panel, and since we're so open, you can be like, oh man, look, if they have it all figured out. And well, that's false. We don't, actually. We just know what items to prioritize. And once you've figured those items to prioritize, you shift your schedule around to make sure that you fit in what you have prioritized. So, you know, during times where, yeah, you know, we're very grateful, Miranda and I, to have my mom be our nanny. But when she travels or something or takes her vacations, you know, that goes and shows us more of like what a lot of people tend to actually really experience on their day to day and not have that help, right? But we make it work, right? We've gone live and members have seen Knox throw complete tantrum breakdowns. It was like Christmas Eve. It was like, you know, burpee workout, air squat, or it was like the 12 days of Christmas workout, and Knox just threw the most ridiculous breakdown, and we thought he was gonna hold it together. We're like, we'll give him his iPad for that moment, because he just clearly is in some kind of mood, and it did not work. He just wanted attention. But what happened? We made an immediate adjustment, like, you know, 5-10 minutes in. Miranda, you know, ended up stepping away and attending to him, and then let me finish the workout. And, you know, I did. And then afterwards, she's like, I'm going to finish this. So it's like, you know, you got to play tag in those situations. You have to be okay with all days not going to be how you expect them to be, but just finish out what you were going out to go do, right? So some days you're going to have to immediately make a switch in your head. It's like, dang, it's going to be a more than nothing kind of day. And be okay with that, right? Because each day is going to be different. You are kind of at the mercy of how your kids are feeling. Let's be completely honest, because I've seen some of the questions on there saying, well, what if I put them in a pack and play and they're being cranky, or, you know, I just want that me time. It's like, well, what does that really exist? And that doesn't really exist, you know, every single day. And you have to be okay with that, because your life's going to go in phases, you know, and you just have to adjust as the phases keep coming. But just, again, as long as you have your priority set as to what you're trying to accomplish, you're going to be okay.
What's your current schedule for your fitness? Do you have a schedule, or?
So we have a general idea. So I think to have a general structure helps, but being okay with having change happen if needed, right? So we have, we always try to get in our fitness from 4 to 5 o'clock, right? Because as soon as 5 o'clock, 5:30 hits, the boys end up, you know, rolling up, and then we make sure it's a priority to, from 5:30 until they go to bed, that is family time. That is it. No more work. Like, that is our routine for us to spend time with the boys and get them down and go to sleep, you know? In the morning, it's chaotic. We just try to get Knox to school, you know, Banner's on his own little, you know, timeline. But you know, it's been changing. And, you know, we generally try to get into the office around 10 o'clock or start some kind of work from 10 until, again, we're done at 5. And then we just kind of resume what we have. The weekends, Sundays, that's why Sundays is a like dedicated family day. We take a rest day so we can focus on just slowing down, not putting any kind of pressures on ourselves to try to do anything but to kind of follow the flow of what the boys want to do and just spend quality time. So, Brian, go ahead.
To really mirror what Jeb had to say in terms of balance, I feel like some days I feel like I have balance and some days I feel like I don't. And, you know, you're tipping one scale one way or another to try to find that balance. But I do try to keep a lot of structure, at least in my own life. And thankfully, I do have my wife, who is a stay-at-home mom, which is, contrary to some belief system, a full-time job. But I am very thankful that she's at home and with the kids and, you know, full-time. But I get up in the morning. I spend time with my son and my daughter, making them breakfast and that type of thing. I'll usually start work around 8, and then I'll work until, you know, 4 or 5. And then, you know, thankfully, I do work from home most of the time. And then I work out, and that's, you know, my time to work out. But thankfully, my son and daughter, they're at an age where they come out with me. I throw open the garage. They're doing, you know, sometimes they're doing the workout with me on a pull-up bar and swinging and doing whatever, you know, on their skateboard or scooter, whatever it might be. And that really is family time for us. And my wife is usually inside, maybe cooking dinner or really just getting some reprieve from being with the kids all day. And that's my time to spend with them, too. So, and then from, you know, the time I'm done working out, we'll have dinner together, you know, put the kids down, and then I spend time with my wife or work a little more, whatever it might be. So thankfully, you know, more times than not, that really is a structure in my day. And the weekend really is, you know, no work, unless, you know, there's emergencies or whatever, and that's completely family time. And then Sunday's usually day off and we have church, family time, that type of stuff. So we, you know, there is a lot of structure on my end. And my heart goes out to especially single fathers or mothers that maybe doesn't have that spouse or significant other to take care of the kids, to try to find that reprieve. So, you know, I am very thankful and, you know, lucky from a perspective of my wife being at home and attending to the kids for so much of the day while I'm working.
We had a couple follow-up questions on the schedule from one of our members, and they're pretty funny. He says, when things at home get rough and the normal workout scenario is not feasible due to spouse or kid issues at the moment, be honest. How do you not get pissed? Maybe I'm not a big enough man, but all I need sometimes is those 15 minutes. How do you not get pissed when your workout, when your daily plan gets disrupted?
I will start because I am very structured. There have been times where my daughter throws an absolute tantrum while I'm working out and there's dumbbells flying because I'm just ticked off. I mean, not at her or anything. The kids are always safe. But especially if I'm doing a movement too that I'm not very good at, take step ups, for example, they're awful. And then she's screaming or crying at me, then, you know, just you slam it down a little bit and you just. And then you take a deep breath and you say, you know what? It's not worth it to get this pissed off because I'll take a break and that type of thing and I'll tend to her. But yeah, there have been times where I've gotten ticked off. You know, mostly it doesn't come out in words. It comes out in throwing stuff or something. But thankfully that's few and far between. And but it certainly does happen. I mean, especially when you're expecting or wanting a workout that day and just some time. Even if the kids are around and that type of thing, and you're spending time together, not to have those tantrums while you're working out, but it doesn't always go that way.
I would say I'm at a point now. I think the biggest obstacle is definitely Knox because he's at an age where he's just, you know, he can do what he wants at this point. He can get inside. I have to child lock the door. So I have no problem with putting a child lock on the garage. And it's easier, actually, when it's just me and him. And has nobody to go to because if Miranda's in the area, there's no winning, right? He's just gonna go to who gives him attention. But I've found when they know who they can get away with, you know, certain things. So when Knox is in that garage and I've, you know, I give him a look, he knows not to push it, right? He knows if he starts crying, I'm not gonna pay attention to him. But in that situation, right, you have to know. How much can I tolerate of this tantrum that my child's giving? And what kind of adjustment am I going to do, given the current circumstances. So if I was planning on doing the main SP workout for the day, you know, and then that situation is happening, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to adjust to do something where I don't have to worry about him running around and dropping something on him. And I'll just customize a workout that's going to allow me to get in at least a 10 to 12 minutes of fitness in. And then you can make an adjustment needed depending on the situation. But that, to me, I can tolerate that kind of a tantrum for that long before I'm like, okay, I'm done. But I will definitely, I have no problem letting him throw a fit for that long if needed. Because ultimately, they're really testing your boundaries, I feel like. And so if they try it once, okay, they'll start saying like, okay, this isn't working. They try it a second time and you follow up with the same behavior. They know, okay, I'm not going to be able to get away with it. So by the third time, they kind of get into a flow. I've found that he just kind of goes in there, starts running around, tries to kind of do some of the stuff that I'm doing, or it's easier for him to get into some kind of flow to entertain himself. And that has helped, right? But obviously that's my personality, where I can desensitize myself from it, where some people may not. Right. And I think it is a little bit harder for mothers to do that, you know, just because there's more caring and more nurturing. I just have a different way of caring and nurturing for people in general. And so, I mean, the people, everybody around here can definitely attest to that. But, you know, I just know that in that moment, yeah, he's going to be angry at me. But then I'll make up for that later in the quality time that I'm going to spend by me having a more clear head and being feeling good about getting in my fitness for the day. And that's where the whole knowing when to plug in that intensity and getting in and working out with a purpose. You know, if you go in there and just mope around and be like, well, of course you're going to be disappointed. But no, those 10 to 12 minutes, you bet that I am moving and capitalizing on getting in a good workout and a safe workout while that situation is happening.
I would also just be curious to know, like, how often this is happening. Because if it's happening a lot, if it's happening enough times that something's getting in the way of you doing your workout, then like you're not doing something right. You could probably wake up a little earlier, knock out your workout when everyone's asleep. I've done really late workouts before. And if it's very rarely that the spouse or kid issue gets in the way of the workout and you're getting mad, well, the problem is you, I hate to say it, because, you know, these things happen and that's what we signed up for. When you have a kid, that's what you sign up for. They don't care about your plans or your schedule or your commitments. They want what they want when they want it. And your job is to turn them into a high functioning adult. And so getting mad at them, I don't think is going to get you there or get them there.
That scheduling thing you brought up was actually very important, because here I know how, you know, we all parent, and I would say that we all have our kids down to sleep by 8 o'clock. Like the boys are sleeping by 8 o'clock. So in that situation, like you just said, what's stopping you from getting in a workout after 8 o'clock? Because at that point you do have your me time. So yes, you have to look at your situation. Are you letting your kids stay up past 8 o'clock, 9, 10, and letting them kind of be on their own schedule? Or are you setting up some kind of routine at home that's going to benefit the family and everybody's emotional well-being? And then there you go. You have from 8 till whatever to have that me time to go in and do a 20, 30-minute long workout and then tag team it, right? Now your spouse can go get that 20, 30-minute long workout. Is it ideal? No. But does it keep you moving and feeling good and then cleanses your emotional state and now you got your fitness in? Yes. Same thing applies if you want to wake up earlier than normal. So you can come up with all the reasons in the world why, you know, you're stressed out and everything, but ultimately action, you're going to have to do something. If, you know, you feel like it's lacking, you have to restructure what's going on in your home and set a routine, set a schedule. And it might take a little bit of time to get that schedule going, but once it's there, then a change has been made, new habits have been formed. And then that's when you're going to be able to make better progress.
So last thing I really want to add really quick is just because I do sometimes get mad and I will just, it's worth it to me. I will piss off Carolina and I will go out to the garage and I will do what I need to do because I know it's worth that trade-off, that I will blow off some steam. I'll come back in. I'll be able to listen. I'll be able to apologize, be humble. And so I do make that trade-off conscientiously.
So funny you guys should mention the later in the night workouts, because the same person asked, if it gets to like my day's just gone crazy. And if it gets to like 10:30 p.m., is it better to work out still or just skip it for that day and move on to the next day? Only one person needs to answer this, I think.
Sure. I think so. That's why it's more, sometimes it's more about just dialing in your fitness. It's also dialing in your nutrition, right? Because the thing is, if it's 10 o'clock and you've had a long day, you're extremely exhausted, and your body's going to tell you, you need to go to sleep. So sleep is going to be way more important than anything else, because without that, you know, you're going to be functioning like a zombie. So I would suggest definitely getting in that sleep and maybe set your alarm to wake up a little bit earlier when now your body has had that time to recover. And then you're able to, yeah, it's going to take a little bit to kind of warm up and get out of bed a little bit, but at least you've kind of allowed your body to hit the proper recovery it needs over some kind of sleep, right? So I would say catch up on sleep, depending on your situation, right? But most of the time, go to sleep, try to wake up earlier in that situation until you get more into a better flow.
Okay, so you guys have all kind of talked about having the kids in the garage and they're just running around going crazy. Do you have any tactics to help the dads to control the kids? I've heard the iPads mentioned, and I'm going to go ahead and plant the seed of talking about using dumbbells in a sandbag versus a barbell, so you guys can talk a little bit about the benefits of different equipment maybe as well.
Brian, go ahead.
I mean, honestly, if you know, there's times where my daughter, she might be upset or whatever when I'm getting done with work, I'm going to work out, or it's a weekend or that type of thing. And it really is tailoring the workout to, you know, because I don't want to hit my daughter or my son with a barbell or something, you know, if they're being upset and they're trying to run after you, whatever it might be. So the beauty, you know, in my mind of street parking and from the programming perspective is the fact that, you know, you can use any equipment or no equipment really to tailor the workout to your specific needs. And not only that, you know, there's times where, you know, they start screaming, whatever it might be. And it's being okay with, hey, I'm going to stop my workout and I'm going to approach my child and whatever I need to do, give her a hug, give him a hug, talk to them. And then you resume. I mean, at some point, you know, I understand from the perspective of, you know, this is just my 10 or 12 minutes I need to get after and that type of thing. But in all honesty, if that means that you're trying to get through the next 7 minutes and it's just frustrating, whatever it might be, take a pause. It's okay. And go tend to your child. Make sure they're okay. You know, try to get them on something else to have them, you know, get to back to playing, whatever it might be, to get them out of that tantrum, whatever, you know, whatever it is, and then resume. Pausing's okay. Trying to get them to work out with you. I mean, especially like in our household, we have a bunch of, you know, 1 or 2 pound dumbbells or whatever. And, you know, you show them the movement and they look funny doing it, but, you know, get their mind focused on something else while they're getting frustrated, and taking that time to do that and then resume your workout so that you could actually have a high intensity rather than being frustrated and having a low intensity workout, in my mind.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen every single day, or I would hope not, right? Because if something's happening every single day, you have to be like, okay, what's happening in my life that I can kind of change? But, you know, that's why having these workouts are so effective. Because you could literally say the workout, the Main Street parking workout is a 15, 20 minute long workout, but your kid's throwing a tantrum, maybe just go 10 minutes. And
do you have any tips to prevent said tantrum? I think that's what the people were looking for. Like, do you put the kids in a pack and play? What kind of stuff
yeah,
are
I mean,
you
depends.
Doing
so,
to prevent said tantrum, if possible?
Yeah. So with Banner, he's in a position where, you know, he gets entertained by being on a little jumpy or a pack and play, or that little swing that we have for him, and that works for him. With Knox, you know, of course, I'm going to have the iPad as a backup if needed. But a lot of the times, you know, now he kind of gets into a flow where, you know, he watches my mom work out, he'll want to work out with her. He watches me and you work out. He'll try to jump in and, you know, just kind of be silly about it. But again, there was definitely times where, you know, you just got to let him kind of cry it out sometimes. If nothing else works, just they need to just respect what you're doing, because again, that's also setting them up to respect your time, and hopefully they get into a habit of that.
And I think it's hard from a tantrum perspective if we knew what triggered them to give him a tantrum most of the time. I think we do a good job of preventing that, but you know, as most fathers or parents know, tantrums could come on in an instant. Whether you're preventing it or doing whatever, and it's kind of just daily life. It's not specific to fitness or whatever it might be, it happens all the time. And it's just knowing how to approach that while you're working out or, you know, otherwise.
All of your kids are kind of young, but we did get several questions from people asking about trying to involve their kids in the workouts. And I think all the kids here on this panel might be a little bit too young for that. But do you guys have a plan or thoughts about what you would like to do once they're old enough to actually do some fitness with you?
And I'll tie it into just because I did also see at what point do you kind of push them to, you know, that whole mindset thing, right? Or just, is it for fun? Or what time do you, or what point do you come in and try to actually help them with technique and stuff like that? What do you think about that, Jim?
I think, so my kid is 18 months old and I have big plans for her. But at the end of the day, I believe you kind of have to let a kid be a kid. And the more you force them into something, the more you might drive them away from that thing. I have helped out with some of my friends back in California, teaching like little dragons Taekwondo, right? 3 to 5 year old kids. We've taken Callie to little kickers, which is like, I don't even know, it's 18 months to 3 or something. Literally all you're doing is, it's the only thing you can expect is that maybe your kid's going to listen. And that's the only thing you're trying to do is to get them to listen. And you make a game out of getting them to listen. So it's like little red light, green lights and freeze tag. So they're paying attention to the cues that you're giving them. I think that having any expectation that they're going to be like anything more than just maybe being able to hear you in the form of a game before 5 years old is unrealistic. Once they're over 5 years old, then yeah, you can start to, maybe teach them more in terms of skills. But in my experience and what my plan is to try to make everything as much of a game as possible. And then once they get to the point where maybe they become competitive or maybe they just have an intrinsic motivation that they want to get really good at something, that's when I'll start pushing the actual like drilling. Hey, you need to practice this 100 times if you want to get good at it.
Yeah, for Knox, is you know, especially now having the two boys and me being competitive, I'm glad that I've been able to kind of have like self-reflection on certain things, like do I want him to do this or does he want to do this, when he starts kind of giving me a little bit of pushback and I'm noticing that I'm getting frustrated. I'm at a point now where I can stop myself and ask, like, why am I pushing him? What's the purpose of this? He's saying no, and he doesn't want to. And then it allows me to just kind of pull back and say, okay, buddy, sounds good. Let's move on to something else, right? As opposed to getting more frustrated and establishing that dominance, because at that point, it's definitely just ego. And don't get me wrong, there's been moments where, oh, man, Knox has said no to me, and I just give him a hard, hard look. And I'll just have to take a moment, be like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And then just kind of collect myself again and then go over and then actually get down to his level. Like, what's wrong, buddy? What do you need? Because, you know, it is one of those things, you always want to allow them to openly express themselves because they're very honest from an early age and you don't want to take that away from them, right? Like just yesterday, you know, we're playing, you know, little soccer in the backyard, and I'm at that phase now, and it's such a special thing. And yeah, making it a game. And I'll always ask him, are you ready? You want to do it again? And he'll tell me, yeah, I want to do it. And then he'll get to a point where, okay, I'm done. Sounds good. Moving on to the next thing. Because the more, like, that's him being honest, like, I'm good. There will be a point, of course, where he will have to understand what it is to have discipline, and that doesn't always work. But then those are different goals, different stages in life. And right now, I'm focused on where he's at and just having fun, keeping things exciting, taking command, listening properly, respect, and then just having him be a kid.
Yeah, Morgan and I hope, you know, especially as we both went to college for athletics. It's always been a part of our life since we were both really young. And our hope now is, from our children's perspective, is that they see the importance that we put, the priority we put on both fitness and nutrition, that they want to do something like that too. And yeah, I even see that in my 4-year-old and my 2-year-old, that daddy's going to work out or mommy's going to work out. I'm going to go play or work out with them. And, you know, they do their silly push-ups or squats or whatever it might be. But our hope is really for them to see that and the priority we put on it and want to do something like that. Obviously, we're going to push them and encourage them to be, you know, to focus on athletics or nutrition or whatever it might be. You can never force a kid to do something they don't want to do and enjoy it. Obviously, you could force them to do something, but they probably won't enjoy it if that's the case. But it's really for them to see that we put a priority on this as a family, and our hope is that they see that and want to partake in that as well. You know, time will only tell over however long, because they're still very young, but...
I would say, too, as much as it's hard to have the kids in the garage, the more they see you do it, the more likely they are to join you. If you have older kids, you can follow, you can check out Kim McIntyre's Instagram, because she has 3 older boys that she involves in her workouts a lot. Hashtag Street Parking Kids has a lot of posts, too. So we'll let you guys wrap up. There were more questions that we didn't get to, so we'll send these 3 guys to that Instagram post on the Street Parking Dad's Instagram so you guys can type some answers to the questions that we missed.
Yeah, and we'll try to see if we can do more check-ins, like SB Dad's version. I think, you know, there's a lot of benefits, you know, SB Moms, like roundtable as well. There's just so much point of view. And now remember, all of this, guys, is, you know, from our perspective, our experience, and don't ever use some of the examples that we've kind of pitched to you. But remember, your life is unique to you, right? So, When you find what works for you, that's when you're going to be at a good place, and you'll be able to share your story and your perspective. Take our examples, apply some of them, but remember, do what works for you and your family, because things are different with everybody, all right? We hope some of this information that we've shared with you guys has been very helpful, and we will check in with you guys very soon. Thank you. Remember, don't forget to share this video with anybody that you feel would benefit from this. Like and subscribe to the Street Parking YouTube page, and take care.